south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, you know, last show I was reading an email from Sue, a repeat offender at my Expat Insider Seminar. Very interesting email, too, and the fact is she has so many questions and made so many requests. There was just no way to type out an answer to her without getting carpal tunnel or blowing a couple hours at the keyboard. So believe it or not, even after going through a lot of that email last show, there's still a lot left to be said. So I'll continue on. She says, Johnny, here's a heads up for you. You mentioned wanting to buy an electric car eventually. I've heard they're off the charts for EMF and dirty electric output. Have you checked out that aspect? I know there are many mitigating devices available, so hopefully you'll take care of that. Then she says, and, you know, it's a relief to hear that 5G will have years of lag time before it gets to Guatemala. All right, so let's hit on those points. You know, Sue, it's not a heads up for me. I knew all about the dirty electricity coming off electric cars for years now. And yes, there are mitigating devices available. So if any of you out there have electric cars, send me an email if you want to know where to get these devices. They're add-ons to your car that really push down the dirty EMF to manageable levels. And they're not that expensive, too. I'm thinking around $100 or so. But well worth it, a good insurance policy. Because remember, when you're in an electric car, you're inside of a gigantic battery. Or at least you're sitting right on top of one. And that in itself isn't producing dirty electricity while it's just sitting there stagnant. It's when the motors start to turn that the dirty EMF, well, let's put it this way, it's everywhere. And the passengers totally bathed in it. Now, I'm sure Elon Musk and the boys know about all this. And here's what I'm thinking. In the future, and I bet this is going to happen, they're going to offer an option when you buy a Tesla, Chevy Volt, BMW, Volvo Electric, whatever. They'll offer an anti-dirty EMF option. Who knows? Maybe it'll be $750 to $1,500. Because, you see, the thing is, till now anyway, there are no regulations on the amount of dirty EMF you can have in a house or emanating from a product like a microwave or a cell tower or an electric car. So, naturally, there will be money to be made as people more and more become aware that dirty EMF does affect your health. In fact, there are engineers that have companies that'll come into your house and check for dirty EMF, and they go into schools and offices and measure that stuff too. And you wonder, if this is such tinfoil hat stuff, why do certain schools and businesses hire these guys to come in? Because the employees and students are having related health problems that are for real but can't be diagnosed by traditional healthcare practitioners. So there are companies that'll come in and measure that stuff. Of course, if you have your own EMF meter, you could find out for yourself, but these outfits offer a real service. Now, I know most listeners out there have probably never even heard of this. Though, as it turns out, insomnia and general physical agitation's on the rise, and medical doctors, when faced with patients with those kind of complaints, will just prescribe some big pharma alternatives, right? Look, these days, when you go to the doctor and you don't feel good, if he doesn't give you a prescription or two or 10, you feel slighted. Where in reality, a percentage of those people who display those nervous and agitated and insomniac conditions are living in or working in spaces that are just bombarded with dirty EMF signals. And it's been proven conclusively over and over again in many scientific papers, too, that people just don't sleep well under those conditions. And of course, the average person is never going to blame EMF. They don't even know what it is. Unless, for example, the cell tower or the power lines are right across the street and you've tried the meds your doc has given you and nothing seems to work and, in fact, you're getting worse. Well, sometimes you read an article or two and you start putting two and two together. Now, you longtime listeners may remember I mentioned in a past show that throughout Latin America, you see cell towers in the weirdest places. Often in the backyard of a tiny, lower-middle-class home, complete with anorexic dogs, driveway chickens, and a goat or a cow or two. And in Latin America, they call someone who's got a cell tower in his yard a lottery winner. Because, you see, when that cell phone company knocks at your front door and says, hey, have we got a deal for you? That means, of course, a person's lucky enough to have his land or his house on high ground in an area that the cell phone companies know they need some coverage. then all of a sudden the rep will pull out a contract and start dealing with you. We're talking a 5 to 10 year contract at $500 to $1,000 a month. That's big money for a guy with a tin shack house. Remember, in Latin America, the average salary, especially for people out in the boonies, is something like $300 to $400 a month. So having a cell tower in your backyard is truly like winning the lottery. Now, of course, the cell phone companies know that when you're close to one of those towers, it's not good for your health. In fact, cell phone tower contractors and installers will tell you that. When you got one of those things very nearby, it's like standing in front of your microwave oven for days on end. And even the contract you end up signing gives the company an out. I've seen those contracts. Of course, they're in Spanish, and the campesino who they're offering the deal to doesn't bother to read that contract. Maybe he can't even read. But he or she knows they just won the lottery. I mean, really, who needs Primo Juan and Tio Tulio up in New Jersey sending back $200 a month in remisas when you're getting more than twice that each month from your cell phone company? Admittedly, they're ugly, no matter how you try to camouflage them or dress them up. But so is that 82 Chevy that's been rusting away in the backyard for, what's it now, 35 years? Anyway, the contract they sign has an out for the company. You know the drill. We're not responsible for any damages, etc., etc. And the homeowner asks no questions and signs it anyway. You gotta wonder, what would a first world guy or gal up in the States do? Well, you can bet if it's Joe Sixpack or someone in a white trash trailer court, they probably wouldn't waste a second signing the contract either. I mean, look at all the idiots who signed away their property mineral rights to those shale oil fracking companies. They even made a movie about it, remember? With Matt Damon? And now they're on unstable land with all kinds of mini earthquakes and tremors. Not to mention the fracking companies pumped all kinds of toxic chemicals into the ground. And those landowners who were so quick to sign the contracts, they got the dough, but they're certainly regretting it now. Oh well, like my Uncle Bernie used to say, or maybe it was my mother, probably both. Remember, every single day, half the people you meet and walk past are below average. And 10% of those, true morons. And when you see the occasional well-dressed moron, well, you can bet he's got a government job. But I digress, as usual. So anyway, about Sue's question on electric cars. It's true, those things put out tremendous amounts of dirty electricity, and that's not good. But not to worry, the companies know that, and there are aftermarket devices that can virtually eliminate that stuff. And if you want the links to a company I know of who are making them right now, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. By the way, that same company makes these little filters that plug into a regular outlet about the size of a phone charger, designed to filter out EMF harmonics and other high-frequency trash electricity from the environment right in your own house. So if you're wondering about solutions, this company and others have the devices to defeat that stuff. So what you do is you go around the house with your EMF meter and you just might find some dirty EMF hotspots. Or not. Hopefully not. But let's say there's one close to where you've got your computer or TV plugged in. And you could find that there's dirty EMF coming in from the main power line on your pole to your main circuit box. So first, obviously, you got to have an EMF meter to go around the house and see if you got any of that junk coming in. And if you do, you just mitigate it with one of these little plug-in filters. But that's normally not the only thing you want to do. You want to move your routers around, maybe to another room. Don't leave any smart devices on or charging in your bedroom when you go to sleep at night. There are lots of little tips that can eliminate the problem. In fact, believe it or not, EMF analysts have found if you've got a bed with steel springs in it, and you're in the big city or living in a residential tower, the bed springs themselves could act as an antenna and bombard you all night long with dirty electricity. So how do you fix that? Well, it's easy. All you have to do is run a nice solid ground line to any metal part or metal spring on the mattress. Of course, that means you have to make a little cut into the fabric of the mattress somewhere, but that's no big deal. Now, first, before you decide to do anything like that, you have to have an EMF meter, walk around the house, and see where your hotspots are, if any. Now, if you're living out in the burbs or the boonies, and there's lots of wide open spaces, you'll almost never have a dirty EMF problem, except coming from your damn smart meter, and of course your Wi-Fi and smartphone. But you know, if you have big, wide open living spaces in your house, you don't have to worry too much about that. You just relocate some of that stuff. Oh, and for all you out there who think this is a little nutty, that we're getting a little into tinfoil hat territory, let me lay this little fact out for you. There are companies that make this stuff called EMF shielding paint. It provides EMF shielding protection from high-frequency radiation from wireless communications like modems, phones, television, radio stations, smart meters, cell towers. It's used commercially everywhere. So what do they know that we don't? Obviously, they know it's not good for living things. Now, I mentioned this before in a past show, but I didn't tell you the most popular brand name. It's called Y-Shield Paint. That's letter Y-Shield Paint. So if you buy and apply this stuff, you could turn any room of your house into a Faraday cage. Of course, if you do use it, you won't get any cell phone or smart device coverage in that room, but that's the point. Though you can always use a direct plug-in Ethernet line and get your service back without any dirty EMF at all. It's also proof that the stuff works. And believe me, commercial contractors all over the first world are starting to use that stuff. It's like regular water-based latex paint, but it blocks cell phone, CB, TV, AM, FM, radio frequency, and microwaves. Blocks everything all the way up to 18 gigahertz. Unfortunately, for now anyway, it only comes in one color, but you can apply any kind or color of latex paint over it. Oh, and by the way, after you're done painting, you have to ground it. In fact, on the instruction label, it says you're supposed to add one ground-lined wire to earth per 1,000 square feet of painted surface. That means you have to attach a little wire ground cable, then attach it to a water pipe in your house or a grounding rod in the soil outside of your house, like your electrical fuse box is connected to. All right. On that note, I'd like to tell you an interesting story you probably never would have heard about unless you're into electric guitars. The fact is, if you own an electric guitar that was made before around 2010, about 9 or 10 years ago now, if you pull off the pick guard where the electronics sit, you know, the part of the guitar that's cut out to hold the volume and tone controls and switches, you'll see the entire cutout is lined with a very thick aluminum foil. And if you remove the switches, controls, and potentiometers, you can actually pull out that piece of thick aluminum foil in one piece because it's been preformed into a little box that sits right in there. Now, flash forward to modern, very new guitars. If you unscrew the pick guard and take it off, you'll see there's no thick aluminum foil style box anymore in there. It's been painted with, guess what? Y-Shield paint or its equivalent. So you might ask, why do you have to shield the electronics of a guitar? Well, that's because if you're anywhere close to dirty EMF, it'll start buzzing through your amplifier. The fact is, all you have to do is get within a couple of feet of a fluorescent light and the amp will go crazy. So here, the electric guitar players have known since the 1940s that their guitars are dirty EMF detectors. And some of these players, at least the ones with a half a brain, have thought to themselves many times, man, if this stuff wreaks havoc with my pure guitar sounds, what the hell is it doing to me? It's got to be affecting me somehow. Because I'm made of trillions of cells, and they all operate and signal each other through very tiny electrical impulses and waves. That's something to think about, huh? So it's true, more and more we're getting bombarded with dirty EMF. The more smart devices you have around the house, the more you'll be affected. Though some people, just like anything, seem to be extremely sensitive to that stuff. Case in point, insomniacs. And others don't seem to be affected by it at all. Sort of like the smoking and cancer connection. It seems like everyone knows somebody, or there's someone in the family who's been smoking two packs a day for 50 years and they live to be 90. Then there's the other side of that coin. Anyway, just know there are very good solutions out there for dirty EMF. And please, don't let the idea stop you from buying an electric car. And even if you think this is on the verge of woo-woo and tinfoil hat science, I suggest if you're the anxious type, have problems sleeping, have difficulty concentrating, etc., etc., before you let your big pharma brainwashed family doc write you a bunch of anti-anxiety scripts, just drop $100 and go around your house with an EMF meter, just to rule out the possibility. What have you got to lose? Oh, and don't forget, on the last show, I gave you my recommendation for the best, least expensive EMF meter that'll do the trick. Once again, I get no money or kickbacks for anything I recommend. All right, then Sue asks another good question. She says, what's up with the agreement the Guatemalan president signed with Trump to keep asylum seekers from Central America from going to the U.S. by relocating them to places in Guatemala? She says, I've heard that mentioned once or twice in the news. What's up with that? All right, here's my take. Another seemingly good idea that's never going to fly. I've talked to many, many low-income Latinos who have been deported from the States, some multiple times, and they all say if they get caught and deported to Guatemala or Honduras or Panama or any other city or country other than where they came from, they won't stay there long. Why? Because they don't know anybody. They've got no connections at all. They'll feel displaced and completely isolated from their own people. Oh, sure, they'll be with other deported Latinos and such. But without a doubt, they're going to just work their way back to their old neighborhoods and their old countries of origin, like Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, whatever. In other words, the asylum country relocation thing is a stupid joke, thought up by idiot bureaucrats who never see the real big picture. Though it's good palliative PR, you know, making people up in the States who are fed up with the illegal immigration thing think the government's got some kind of plan or solution. Yeah, right. Since when has anything or any program or any department of the government create or promote anything that hasn't been a failure or truly disappointing? In reality, there's nothing government does that can't be done better at half the cost or less by even a retarded person in the private sector. Wait a minute. What's that you're saying? Johnny, you can't say retarded on the air? Oops, sorry about that. That was pretty retarded of me, huh? Oh, and by the way, speaking of people getting caught and deported, I was just speaking with a young Latina last night. She told me her cousin, who'd been up in the States something like 4 years, made a surprise visit back to the home country. Surprised because he got caught driving a car with a fake ID and got deported. She said he's been back something like 2 weeks now, and everyone in the family was so glad to see him at first. But they can't stomach him now. She says he thinks he's a gringo. He's always comparing things to the U.S. Los Estados this, Los Estados that. She said he even sprinkles his Spanish with English words he knows we don't understand, just to act prepotente and arrogante. That's arrogant. And that's the pattern. Someone sneaks into the United States, ends up there for who knows how many years until he gets picked up and deported. And that's no guarantee, but some have been deported 2, 3, 4, 5 times already. And when they do, they're somehow changed. They've got an attitude. And as this lady pointed out, many times their own families can't stomach them anymore. As she said, they're encouraging him to go back for selfish reasons, too, just so his arrogant ass is out of their hair. But I digress, though maybe it was a welcome digression. Who knows? Anyway, Sue goes on to say, Johnny, you've been getting some really great emails from listeners lately. They really liven up the shows. I still haven't missed a show yet. I have all of them saved to my hard drive, starting with Numero Uno on 11/29/2010, which I just listened to again. She says, you know what, Johnny, it's good to hear the old Frank Sinatra version of your theme song after so long. By the way, she says, Johnny, does all this qualify me for some kind of award or something? She says, after all, I am a longtime listener since show number one and a seminar repeat offender. Then she says, speaking of seminars, I hope to drop in on another one soon as a relocated expat. All right, Sue, to chime in there, I have to say, when you ask if you qualify for some kind of award or something, well, you might find this strange, and I certainly do, but I've had listeners write me saying they've listened to every one of my shows 3 times. That'd be around 1,300 hours of listening to me babble. So you got a ways to go, young lady. Meanwhile, I seriously doubt if my mother and any of my family up in the States has listened to more than a single show. I guess they're right when they say you're never a hero in your hometown. All right, then she says, Johnny, I did buy that HP Stream book you recommended. I really only use it when I travel, which isn't often, but I do like it. It's pretty reliable, handy, lightweight, a great little machine. All right, me, Johnny, with a comment. You might remember a while back I said I have a list of the things I carry with me when I'm traveling. And one of my favorite items is this tiny little 10-inch screen HP notebook machine. You can get it on Amazon for around $200. It comes with Windows 10, which I don't like, but everybody's got it. 4 gig of RAM and 64 gig of solid-state hard drive. But here's the cool thing. It's got a little micro SD slot where you can plug in up to 500 gigs of memory, which I did. Because, you know, the 64 gig that the machine comes with is not all that great if you're storing a lot of movies and files. When you get it, you'll find Windows is installed on that 64 gig. Then you should store all your programs on that 64 gig drive too, and use the extra drive, in my case 500 gig, for anything you might be downloading, like movies, YouTubes, whatever. Chances are you're never going to fill that thing up, not in your lifetime. So anyway, if any of you listeners out there want to know what I carry with me when I'm traveling, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you the links and the places to get the stuff. Oh, and by the way, like Sue says, she's got one of these computers. You can use it to charge your phone or your MP3 player when you're stuck at the airport, because even though it's a little thing, it's got a nice, hefty battery in it. Many times I've got 10 hours out of the battery before I had to recharge it. All right, then Sue says, here's a healthcare question for you, Johnny. Do you know anything about the availability of getting tested for heavy metals in Latin America? I've been working on detoxing / chelating from some super high lead and mercury levels. I've had two heavy metal urine challenge tests myself and have made some progress, but now it's been over a year since my last test and I'd like to check my progress again. She says the tests up in the States where she is cost around $250. She asks, are there any full-service labs you could suggest? Well, Sue, I can't suggest any labs in particular, but all the big labs will do it. In fact, there are plenty of doctors here in Latin America that do chelation in their offices, and any one of those doctors will certainly be able to do the test and or lead you to the lab that they use. And you know, there's one really great thing about labs here in Latin America. For practically any kind of lab test that you want, you don't need a doctor's prescription. Of course, if you're covered by healthcare insurance, the only way they'll pay for it is with a doctor's prescription. But suppose you come down just for a couple of weeks and decide you want a full blood count and a thyroid hormone check, vitamin D levels, anything. Well, you just walk into a lab and give them a list of the tests you want. You'll have to pay cash, of course, but you won't need a doctor's prescription. Now, about the cost of labs if you're paying cash. For example, a couple of months ago, I accompanied a gringo to a lab. He wanted certain tests and wanted to pay cash. He didn't have a prescription, but he spoke no Spanish and no one at the lab spoke Spanish, though a couple of doctors wandering in and out did speak English. So anyway, I lent him a hand. Here's the tests he got. Ferritin, CBC, that's complete blood count, hematocrit, B12 vitamin level, vitamin D level, IGF-1 level, thyroid stimulating hormone, and T4. Also, serum reactive protein test, that is an indication of general inflammation in your body. And an HIV test. So he got all that done. Plus, he had his free and bound testosterone check, too, because he said he wanted to see how he stacked up in the testosterone department after hearing that Latino guys have something like twice the level of testosterone than white Caucasian guys up in the first world. So anyway, they did all the tests, took something like 4 or 5 vials of blood, and 3 days later, he went down to get the results. By the way, you can't send anyone else down, and they won't send you the results online, because of the confidentiality of the HIV test, which is, by the way, a good thing. Anyway, total cost, out of pocket, for all that stuff, with no insurance, $85. Now, I wonder what that would have cost if he'd have gone to a lab up in the States. I'm guessing well over $300, probably a lot more. All right, continuing on the subject of healthcare, comes another email. This is from Dave, another expat insider seminar survivor. He says, Johnny, where can I find alternative medicine resources in Guatemala City? Even at La Paz, the hospital we toured at the seminar, the doctors seemed to be steeped in a lot of the usual pharmalogic and AMA superstitions. Then, Dave asks, are there any supplement nutrition centers such as those Google is so tenaciously trying to put out of business? Well, Dave, yes, they've got alternative medicine clinics and alternative medicine retail outlets in various places in Guatemala. You just have to go onto the internet and search alternative or complementary medicine. In fact, I did that just now and a couple of options popped up. And you know, while driving and walking through Guatemala City myself, I see those naturopathic clinics and naturopathic product sales outlets once in a while. I just haven't cataloged their names or addresses. But I know there's an alternative medicine store right across from Vista Hermosa Mall. It's been there for years, and they've got a big yellow sign. And you know, Dave, right now, I'm looking at OLX.com, and I see at least 4 alternative medicine clinics in Guatemala City, and I haven't even gone through the whole list. Just look for Medicina Alternativa. But don't forget, you have to research these things because it's buyer beware. Remember, they don't have an FDA down here, but that's a good thing, you know. Oh, and Dave's got a report on residency, too. He says, Johnny, at the start of November, I finally got my residency approved and received my DPI card. My girlfriend and I did most of the work, and it provided me with a first-hand view of Guatemalan bureaucracy in action. The system is meant to raise money to run the machine, but that does not include money to fix the restrooms at the immigration building, which remained broken through the 5 months we'd go in and out of the place. And even though me and my girlfriend both spoke Spanish, it's a long, drawn-out affair, and I can testify that if you are a green gringo and you don't speak Spanish and you can afford Jose, your seminar lawyer's residency services, they are invaluable. I'll point out here that Jose also gave us much help as we went through the process ourselves. All right, thanks for that, Dave. Just a little comment on the residency process. You longtime listeners have heard me say many times, if your Spanish is really good and you've got lots of time on your hands, you can come down and go through the residency process yourself But as Dave points out, it's a long, drawn-out process and an exercise in frustration, which is why I always say, why go through all that BS? What's your time worth to you? Standing in sweaty lines for hours on end, get shifted around from this idiot bureaucrat's window to the next, then running from one broken-down government building to the next, etc., etc. Though, I think it's okay to give it a shot yourself if you're young and broke and you speak very good Spanish, but I'm telling you, if you're not a backpacker, why put yourself through the torture? Get a trusted Latin lawyer to hold your hand through the process. Sure, you'll still have to stand in the occasional line, but you see, he or his staff will call you up and say, be at this building or at my office at 3 o'clock whatever day, and the whole process, though it will take a while, will be very much streamlined, and you won't have to do any of the talking. You will go from building to building, but when you show up, you'll go to the head of the line. You know, those last two emails were from people who came to one of my expat insider seminars. And the first lady, Susan, as a repeat offender. Now, most of you already know my next expat insider seminar starts in about 5 weeks, January 10th through January 16, 2020. And when that one's finished, the following one will probably be in July 2020, 6 months later. And I really believe in the next 6 months. Some real bad things are going to happen up in the first world by you. And if that does happen, and I really think it will, there may not be another seminar. Because when the next catastrophe hits up in the States, the next step by those big brother a-holes near you will be to impose currency and travel restrictions. In fact, if you've been paying attention, you'll see some of that stuff's already underway. Looks like, and I've got some data to prove this, in the very near future, you're going to have to get your government's approval to travel outside the country. That's right. You're going to have to draw up an itinerary, give it to the State Department and TSA jerks well before you even buy your tickets to travel. The fact is, it's already true that when you fly to Europe, you have to present to immigration people with your full itinerary, hotels, destinations, places you're going to visit, etc. I just went through that recently myself. Well, expect more where that came from. When it comes to government, things never get better, only worse. So very soon, unless you have a plan B, and a comfortable and secure location when you land, when you find it necessary to get out of Dodge, you'll be caught off guard and kicking yourself like everyone else who doesn't have a plan B. And, of course, the best way to get a 2 to 5 year head start on that plan B? Attend my week-long January Expat Insider Seminar. For full details and sign-up information, just go to www.theexpatfiles.com, then click on the seminar link or go to www.theexpatfiles.com/seminar. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!